You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
All right, well, we've been in a series called Uncommon Community for the past several weeks, and we've seen this series, as we wrapped it up last week, have a lasting, special impact on our church and in our small groups, our ministries, and the people of our church. We've seen, and I've seen firsthand, that our church is growing, and the things that we were unpacking, specifically what it means to love one another as a church, what it means to forgive one another as a church. We need that. I need forgiveness often. We need to be people who forgive one another, serve one another, submit to one another, encourage one another. Last week, we saw what it means to be a church that is devoted to one another as family, and that's what we are. We're the family of God. And so God's been so faithful in strengthening us in these things and building these truths into us as a church. I'm so very encouraged by what's happening in our church. But meanwhile, as I was praying, my heart was just really overwhelmed and burdened a few weeks ago with the reality that while we are growing here as a church and while God is at work in our midst and while we're experiencing much grace, meanwhile, all around the world, there's a lot of devastation happening. All over the world, there's a lot of suffering happening. In fact, even in our midst, there's some suffering happening. There's hardships, there's difficulties, there's trials. There are things that maybe only you know about that no one else knows about. All over the world, even in this room today, there is the reality of suffering, even maybe in our own hearts. Are you in that place today? Are you struggling with something? The persecution of Christians is rapidly on the rise all over the world. Nations all over the world are in disarray, increasingly economic disarray, political disarray, spiritual disarray. The so-called Christian nations of the world are quickly losing their grasp on the values that they were founded upon. Natural disasters seem to be occurring more frequently than ever. Marriage has lost its way in our society and societies of the world. There is increasing suffering happening all around us and even within our midst. Diseases, financial disasters, relational conflicts, and the list of hardships and struggles and trials and suffering can go on and on and on. And I think we need to take a few moments every now and then to see what God's word has to say about this thing that we may be facing even today, this thing of suffering, this thing of trials and hardships and persecution. Whatever it may be for you, we need to think biblically about these things because there's not enough biblical declarations about how we are to contend with suffering in our day. There's not enough of it, and we need to go to God's word and understand how are we to think of suffering as it shows up on our doorstep? How are we to contend with suffering? What are we to think about the people that are dying for their faith around the world? How are we to think about this issue of suffering? We want to think biblically about it. We want to think biblically about suffering. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're going to spend our time in verses 3 to 5. But I just want to give you a bit of the context in verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 5. If you don't have a Bible, you can slip up your hand. One of the ushers on either side would love to get a copy of God's word to you. If you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you. You can take it home. We just want you to read it and have your life radically transformed by it. Romans chapter 5, this is the context while you're turning there. In verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul is describing the glorious reality of every believer in Jesus Christ. He writes that since we've been justified by faith, we now have peace with God. We now stand secure in His grace, and we have a future hope, the hope of the glory of God, he calls it. He's reminding the church at Rome of the certainty and security and assurance of salvation for those who have been justified by faith, who have been placed in right standing with God. And this assurance of salvation provides them with true hope, both for the future, but here's the important piece that we're going to meditate on today. Hope not only for the future, but hope for the present. And we can be people who rejoice in the hope of the glory of God that is coming our way, those of us who have been justified by faith, but we can also rejoice in our present sufferings, the text tells us. Let's look at it. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to start reading from verse 1 and go down to verse 5, says this. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is glorious. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Everybody will say amen to that, but will you say amen to this in verse 3? Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. There are some things in this portion of Scripture that we need to begin to take seriously in light of all that's happening around the world, in light of all that's happening in our lives, in light of all that's happening in our church, the things that people know about, the things that people don't know about. For sure, there is the reality of suffering and hardship and trials in our lives. And Paul says that we need to learn, jot this down, to rejoice in suffering. Now is the time to learn what it means to rejoice in suffering. Notice it in the text again. He says, not only that, not only do we rejoice in the future hope of the glory of God, but he says, but we rejoice in our sufferings. The word rejoice right here is actually a much stronger word in the original Greek. It means to boast in, to exalt in, to glory in. So think about what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He's saying, when you are faced with suffering, when there is hardship or difficulty or trial at your doorstep, you are to rejoice in it, you are to boast in it, you are to glory in it, you are to exalt in it. Already some of you are very perplexed. How can I rejoice in suffering? It's a legitimate question to ask. We want to see the answers in the pages of the Bible. It's, in fact, a radical and impossible thought apart from the grace and power of God in our lives to do what Paul is asking us to do, to rejoice in the midst of suffering. But we find this theme all throughout the New Testament. We find this theme being woven all throughout the New Testament in the life of the early church, that the people of God are continually people who learn what it means to rejoice in suffering. Not sitting in a corner, grumbling and complaining, and when is this going to end? But people who learn to rejoice in suffering. On the screen for you, the apostles were persecuted and abused for their faith. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 41 says this, then they, the apostles, left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, Paul says this, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, the church. Essentially saying, I'm picking up where Christ left off. I'm suffering just as Christ suffered. I'm walking the Calvary road of suffering, and I rejoice. I rejoice in the privilege to suffer for Jesus Christ. In James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, says this, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kind. Count it all joy. He's saying rejoice. He's saying exalt. He's saying boast in the sufferings of this present time. And you're asking how? You're asking how? If you're taking God's word seriously with me this morning, you're probably asking the question how? How can I rejoice in suffering? You're asking the question how? How can I rejoice when I'm literally in the midst of a financial disaster? How can I rejoice? How can I rejoice when cancer has just hit my family? How? How can I rejoice? How can I rejoice when my boss is threatening to fire me because of my faith in Jesus Christ? How? How can I rejoice in that? How can I rejoice when my children are rebelling against me and nothing I say they're listening to, nothing I say can get them back? They're running away. They're not thinking rationally. They're breaking my heart. How can I rejoice in the midst of such trial? In hardship, how can Christians rejoice when a heinous group called ISIS takes them as prisoners, tortures them, places them in cages, parades them through the streets, and kills them? How can their families rejoice? How can those believers rejoice? There is a how. There is a how, loved ones. I want you to understand there is a how, but it's rooted in the why. And this is important because before we can learn how to rejoice in suffering, you need to understand why God allows our suffering, and the how and the why are both beautifully intertwined. And this is something I think so many believers don't have a grasp on. I see in my own life so often, I don't have a grasp on the why. I'm asking how? You got to get the why. Why does God allow suffering? Notice the text in verses 3-4. He says, the Apostle Paul, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Listen, this is important. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. There's some things God wants to get done in our lives through suffering. And the Apostle Paul's laying it out here for us. We're going to unpack it in a few moments. But have you ever experienced a hardship or an intense form of suffering? And you went to a friend or a family member or a church leader and you asked for some counsel. How am I supposed to deal with this suffering? And the person said to you this. Have you ever been in this situation? The person said to you, be encouraged in your suffering because God will use it to accomplish a good purpose. Have you ever heard that? Maybe you're in a season of difficulty right now and trial and frustration, and you've walked up to someone and asked for counsel and they've said to you, be encouraged. God will use this for a good purpose. Did you ever feel like you didn't want to hear those words? Did you ever feel like those words sounded cliche and apathetic? And what do you know about what I'm going through and what God wants to do with this? Have you ever felt that way? Did you ever feel like those words were words that you just did not want to embrace? God will use this for my good. I just want the suffering to end. I felt that way before. I've had seasons in my life where I felt that way. I've been walking through a difficulty and someone has said to me, God will use this for your good. And I didn't want to hear it. And you know what I found, loved ones? I was wrong to not want to hear that. I was dead wrong to not want to hear that. There's something fundamentally wrong with my attitude. There's something fundamentally wrong with the way I'm perceiving suffering. There's something fundamentally wrong with my theology. If someone comes to me and says the biblical words that God will use this for your good and for his glory, and I say, I don't want to hear it, there's something wrong with my theology if that's my response. The Bible teaches us right here in our text that it is absolutely true that God uses suffering to work some immensely valuable things into our lives. And the times in my life and the times in our lives where we don't want to hear these words are the times in our lives where we have erected the idols of comfort. We've erected the idols of my own being liberated from suffering. We've erected the idols of our own safety. We've erected the idols that we lay down and worship that are not Jesus Christ. It's the idols of, I want to be comfortable. I want to be free. I want to be healthy. I want to be happy. And that is not God's plan for us, that we would be happy. God's plan for us is that we would be holy. And God uses suffering. We're going to see that in a few moments. So maybe you're here in this place right now. And one of the major things you need to figure out theologically about suffering is God uses suffering to accomplish a deep and immensely valuable work in our lives. A work that could not be accomplished apart from the suffering that God is allowing in our lives. And so I want you to jot this down. We're going to get really specific. What are these things that God wants to work in our lives? What are these things that God wants to work in your life today? What are these things that God wants to teach you and strengthen in you today? I want you to write this down. We can rejoice in suffering because we know, jot this down, that suffering produces endurance. We can rejoice in suffering because we know that suffering produces endurance. The rejoicing comes from the heart that's set on Jesus Christ, set on the purposes of Jesus Christ, not our own carnal purposes, but on the purposes of Jesus Christ. The joy comes to the one who understands that God will work something good into my life, and it's according to his will and his plan and his purposes. The person that understands that, the person that says, yes, yes, God, I want more of that. I can rejoice in my suffering because I know something is happening, namely, suffering produces endurance. Notice it in verse 3. He says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing, that's an important word, knowing that suffering produces endurance. The word knowing there is very important, because in order for us to rejoice in suffering, we have to know some things. In order for us to rejoice in suffering, we have to know some things that God wants to do in our lives. Listen, we have to know that we know that we know that we know that we know that God is going to use this in my life. There's never a season, there's never a suffering that occurs in our lives that God is up in heaven like, I don't know what to do with that. I don't know where that came from. I'm not sure why Jason's going through that. Oh, that took me off guard. There's never a time like that. God is all-knowing and all-sovereign, orchestrating the events of the universe for his purpose, orchestrating the individual events of your life and my life to accomplish a good purpose. We can rejoice in suffering when we know, when we know, when we know. Listen, it's hard to know sometimes that God is doing something good. It's hard to know sometimes what God is doing specifically, but we can know that God is doing something. That's an important word. Knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance in the text can be translated patience or perseverance. It carries the idea of having a patient frame of mind. It's the ability to continue working in the face of immense obstacles and opposition. So what is God working in our lives in seasons of suffering? He's giving us the ability. He's giving us the increased capacity. He's giving us the increased strength to continue to press forward in the midst of immense obstacle and opposition. He's strengthening our ability to endure. And if you have been a Christian longer than a minute, you know that you need endurance in the Christian life, because the Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. We need endurance, and the suffering comes, and it comes, and it comes. And suffering produces endurance. So if you love Jesus Christ, and you love becoming more like Jesus Christ, and you hate your sin, then you will rejoice in, you will exalt in, you will glory in this truth that God is allowing me to walk through this season of suffering so that he's building in me the ability to press up against the opposition when it comes. He's giving me the capacity to push up against the difficulties and bear up under it and endure. And so before I'm able to lift 10 pounds, God's going to test that so that I can lift 20. I can hold up 20 pounds. And then 30 pounds and 40 pounds and 100 pounds. And God has a plan. He's working you out. He's strengthening you. He's strengthening your ability to endure, because suffering for the believer is not something that's going to be on the decline ever. It's going to always be there. It's going to be increasing. The Bible tells us in numerous places that we can expect difficult times ahead. And we've been very spoiled here in the Western world, and we have it good. And to whom much is given, much is required. And we are a blessed people, and here we are in this comfortable theater worshiping Jesus Christ and having the ability to formulate a good theology of suffering. What an opportunity we have right now. Listen, loved ones, God uses suffering in our lives to generate and produce greater endurance. And for the one who loves Jesus and the purposes of Jesus, this is cause for rejoicing. It's cause for rejoicing that my endurance, my ability to endure is growing, and my capacity to endure is being strengthened. We can rejoice in suffering because we know that suffering produces endurance. But secondly, you can jot this down. We can rejoice in suffering because we know that endurance then produces character. Endurance then produces character. Notice it in the text. Not only that, verses 3 and 4, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing, if you have a pen, circle that word knowing. You got to know, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and here it is, and endurance produces character. Endurance produces character. The word character in the Greek translates proof. The direct translation is it's proof or proven character. It's the context of someone's character that's been tried and tested and proven. The word was used of testing precious metals like gold and silver to demonstrate their purity. And when you and I walk through a season of suffering, God is testing us and trying us and proving our endurance. And as we grow in patient endurance, our very endurance is authenticating our character, our godliness, our ability in Jesus Christ. And that's what's the result of endurance. It's authenticating us in the midst of hardship. And so let me ask, when was the last time you have experienced a hardship and you felt that you were being tried and tested? It was so hard. It was an intense, fiery furnace that you were in. It was so intense. You felt like you were being just proven and refined and tested. And when you made your way out, there was the proof of godly character. There was proven character at the end of it. Listen, there's no godly, righteous character in a happy-go-lucky, my life is all flowers kind of living. That's not how Christians are refined. That's not how Christians become soldiers for Jesus Christ. It's not when everything's going well. Christians become soldiers for Jesus Christ who are willing to lay down their lives for Jesus Christ in the fiery furnace of suffering. You can't get to that place where you're going to lay down your life for Jesus apart from those moments of suffering that are strengthening your endurance and your capacity to endure and proving your character. You can't get there. And so in light of all that's happening around the world, loved ones, you know what I think so often? I think to myself, I hear about Christians, I hear about pastors being killed for their faith. I think, could I do that? Do you think that? I think, could I do that? Do I have enough character? Do I have enough proven character? Have I been strengthened in my ability to endure enough that if that was me and a knife is to my throat or a gun is to my head, I would not turn away from my Savior? Could I do that? Could you? Just ask yourself that question. If we're going to develop a good theology of suffering, we have to understand, listen, this life is not about me being happy and comfortable and everything going well for me. This life is about God using me and filling me and accomplishing His will for me and His purpose for me and creating in me a heart that can endure and where there's character that's proven so that when the difficulties become so intense, I can bear up under it. My character is proven. By now, we've all heard the tragic reports that came a few weeks ago of the 21 Egyptian Christian men who were captured by ISIS in Libya. There's a picture on the screen for you. They were marched out as prisoners to a beach somewhere, lined up, and killed. All of that after it was videotaped. And the execution videotaped as well. The amazing thing about it is that there was audio captured of these men in their final moments, where as they stood there and these horrific terrorists pushed their faces into the sandy beach and began beheading them, the audio captures them singing to Jesus Christ. The audio captures them professing their faith in Jesus Christ. The audio captures them saying, Jesus, we're coming. Jesus, we love you, Jesus. Here we are. This is the proven character that God wants to accomplish in our lives. And as I was thinking about this, I didn't want to go so quickly through it because the more I thought about it, the more I realized and felt like the Lord was working in my heart to take me past this kind of casual view of what happened here and then move on to my regular, comfortable life. But as I dwelled upon it, as I thought about it, I felt like the Lord was working in my heart and drawing me to a deep place of surrender to His purposes in suffering. And I want that for you and I. I asked my wife, should I show a picture? I don't want to get freaky here. I don't want people to get nervous. And I asked her opinion, and she gave me her opinion, and I came to the conclusion, I want you to see these men's faces. It's just a few of them. I want you to see what the price is that they're paying, because I want you then to ask the question, would I do that? Could I do that? Could I do that if my life was threatened for the sake of Jesus Christ? Benji and Jenna Coward are worship leaders in Buffalo, friends of Harvest Bible Chapel and the Vertical Church Band. They wrote a song about this incident. And I think it sums up the whole ordeal well. Take a look at this.
They could not deny.
Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. James chapter 1, verse 12. Loved ones, we can rejoice in suffering. We can rejoice in suffering because we know that God is accomplishing a good purpose. The suffering is producing endurance, and the endurance is producing character, proven character. And in the case of these 21 men, their endurance carried them all the way to the point of death. But tell me who's afraid now. Tell me who's afraid. It's not them. It's not them. They stand before the living God, in the presence of the living God, where there is fullness of joy. And those men that put the knife to their throats, the day of judgment will be a very frightening and terrifying thing for them. Blessed are those who remain steadfast under trial, for when he's stood the test of time, he will receive the crown of life. Are we living with that perspective? Are we enduring our suffering with that perspective? Are we rejoicing in our suffering because we know God is working something beautiful? God is working something precious. God is working something profound. God is doing something in me that will have lasting implications for all eternity. This life is not about here and now and make me happy and feel comfortable, but I want the endurance that comes from suffering. I want the proven character that comes from that endurance. Lord, let us be a church that wants it and loves it and embraces it, such that when the hard day comes, we rejoice. Amen. Amen. We rejoice. And so we rejoice in our suffering because suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And finally, jot this down. We can rejoice in suffering because we know that character produces hope. Character produces hope. All of this in the context of your life, in the context of your situation, in the context of your suffering. What is it for you? You got to think, make this message very personal for you. What is the thing you've been having a hard time with? What is the suffering, the hardship, the trial, the tribulation, the difficulty? And you have been shaking your fist at God saying, God, take this away. I pray the Spirit of God will come upon you and stay instead of God, take this away. Say, God, I rejoice in this. It's strengthening me. This has got to be personal. Verse 3 and 4. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Follow the progression of the text. Suffering equals endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces more hope. That's where he started in verse 1. He said, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. There's an inheritance for us who are believers in Jesus Christ. If you're here, you're not playing games. You love Jesus. You've pinned your hopes on him. You put your faith in him. You've been justified by faith. There's an inheritance for you. We rejoice in that hope. But then the apostle comes full circle and he says, and in our suffering, we come back. You have hope even in suffering. And not only just hope for the future glory, but hope in this present time that God is strengthening you and shaping you and developing you and teaching you. And as he teaches you in the moment of suffering, the heart that rejoices is a heart that hopes and the heart that looks up to God with great hope and anticipation for all that he will do in our lives, the Christian life that knows without doubting that seasons of suffering are always producing God's positive outcome, is the Christian life that is able to rejoice because their lives are being filled with the reality of greater endurance, proven character, and all this leading to more hope. Hope in Jesus Christ. Hope in the truth that, as the text says, listen, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. What else do we need, loved ones? What else do we need? Come on, you think about it. You're complaining and you're struggling through a thing. I don't minimize any suffering that's happening in this place or some hard things going on. But listen, Paul says we can rejoice. What else do we need to know than that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit? What else do we need to know than that the God of the universe is with us and lives within us and resides within us through his indwelling presence, the power of the Holy Spirit? What else do you need? What else do I need to walk this Christian life? What else do we need to know other than God's love has been poured into our hearts? That's hope. That's hope. And we can know that when we're walking through trials, we can know that when I'm suffering, God is making me stronger. There we find hope. There we find hope. God is making me stronger. We can know that when I'm suffering, God is testing and proving and authenticating me. There we find hope. Amen, Lord, do it. Do it for me. And we can know that when we're suffering, God is reminding me of the great truth that I'm not alone, that he is with me, that his love has been poured into my heart. And this, loved ones, leads to choruses and themes and anthems and hearts that rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but in our present sufferings. Oh, I pray this week, God, forgive me for being so self-centered. God, forgive me for being so self-consumed and so self-absorbed and looking at myself and my problems and my challenges and my difficulties. Meanwhile, God's word is calling me, rejoice, Jason, rejoice. It doesn't matter what it is you're going through. Listen, I'm using it. It's not out of my control. It's not out of my sight. It's not out of my visibility. I'm holding you in my hands. My love has been poured into your heart. You can have hope. You are, of all people, to be full of hope. My love is poured into your heart. I care about you. You're not alone. Rejoice in suffering. What could God do with a community of faith that learns what it means to rejoice in suffering? What could God do in this shallow, superficial society that we live in with people who are rising up above these circumstances that are so hard so very often to say, God, I rejoice in you because, listen, my life is not just about me. My life is not about my comforts. My life is about bringing glory and honor and praise to you, oh God. So use the suffering. Make me more enduring. Use the suffering, Lord. Do it. Do it. Use it. Develop it in me. Prove my character. Yes, God, do it in me. That's got to be our prayer every day. Yes, God, I'm not going to resist. I'm not going to complain. When that person comes to me and says, God is using this in your life, be encouraged. I'm not going to resist. I'm not going to turn that person away. That's utter folly. I'm going to demolish my idols. I'm going to demolish the idol of my own desire to be comfortable and happy all the time. And I'm going to fall on my knees before Jesus Christ and say, God, do what you want to do in my heart. When you do what you want to do in my heart and I submit to you, I win every time. But when I resist you and I do what my idols want me to do, I lose every time. And so many circumstances of our lives are characterized by loss after loss after loss because we have such bad theology, because we're so blind to the truths of Scripture that are so very simple. As I was preparing this message, I thought to myself, this is so utterly simple. People surely need more than this. They need something from me. I went on my knees. I started to pray, Lord God, give me something deeper. Give me something more. They need more. And God showed me my word is all that they need. That's it, the simple truth. I'm not even going to rephrase anything, just so simple. And when we submit to the simple truths of God's word, you don't need anything else. You don't need to make it fancy or pretty. You don't need to do anything else. You need to submit to the Lord. And I wonder how many of us need to submit to the Lord today. I wonder how many of us need to submit to Jesus Christ, what he's allowing in your life, in your heart today. Are you feeling hopeless? Are you feeling hopeless because of a hardship that seems to never end? It's real. Are you feeling hopeless because of a trial? You feel like you just can't let go on. It's going on and on and on. Are you feeling hopeless because of a difficulty or an uncertainty or a tragedy that's crushing you right now? Are you feeling hopeless today? Listen to God's word. Listen to God's word. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Other translations say hope does not disappoint. You'll never be disappointed by hoping in God, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. That's all I want to say this morning, but we're not finished. My heart is very burdened today for those in this room that are walking through seasons of suffering. My heart is very burdened for those of us in this room who say, I want more for this Christian life. I want more. I don't want to be about my own little self-pity corner. I don't want that anymore. I want more. I want Jesus. I want to serve Jesus. I want to be able to be one that serves Jesus to the point of death. That's what I want. I want so much to be able to serve Jesus to the point of death. And my heart is burdened for some in this room today. You're saying the same thing, but you're struggling right now. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up right now and get us ready to continue to worship the Lord. But I'm going to ask you to do something that I don't often ask. I'm going to ask if we all bow our heads and just get ready to have a time where I believe the Holy Spirit will minister to us. But if you're walking through a season of suffering right now and you need a breakthrough, you need to understand in a greater way what God is doing in your life. You need to let it get set into your heart. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to stand where you are so that I can pray for you. And by standing where you are, you're just saying, here I am. Here I am. I need prayer. I need the Lord. You can stand right where you are. You don't have to be ashamed. Listen, this whole room should be standing in many ways because we all need it. I need it. I'm standing. I'm just telling you. I'm standing. I need prayer. Amen. I see you. I see you. You can stand. I want to pray for you. I want to say, Lord Jesus, come and give us understanding. Lord Jesus, come and show us what it means to endure in suffering. If you need help today, you just stand to your feet. And God will come and rush over you, I believe. And Lord Jesus will come and meet you. I pray right now the Lord will minister to your heart. You stand right where you are. Let this be a defining moment for you. You stand to declare to the Lord, Lord Jesus, here I am. I'm standing up for you. I want to endure suffering the way you want me to. I need help in this trial. I need help in this difficulty. That's you. You can stand. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to sing a song of worship to Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we love you so much. We need you right now in this moment. We need you in this moment. I pray there's no one sitting down feeling like they're ashamed or they're worried what people think about them. I pray there's someone here that needs to receive a touch from you. They would stand to their feet right now. And I pray, Lord, as they stand and make a declaration of their need for you right now, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, you would minister to each one. Oh, God. Lord, you know there's suffering after suffering and hardship after hardship happening in the lives of people in your church. Some is unbearable. Some is unimaginable. Sometimes we don't even realize what we're sitting next to. Sometimes the burdens and the devastation that comes into this room every week. Oh, Lord, would you reach down from heaven? Would you reach down from heaven right now in the name of Jesus Christ? We know this is a powerful moment because you said, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and hidden things you have not known. Oh God, I pray for every person standing in this room that you would minister to their hearts. Lord, they've been walking through a hardship or a trial. It seems like it's never ending. Lord, would you show them what you are accomplishing in the hardship and the trial today in Jesus' name? Would you teach us what it means to suffer well for the glory of God? Would you come, O Lord, and speak to each heart, reassure each heart that there is hope and we can rejoice in this present suffering because there is endurance being produced right now for all those standing. There's endurance being produced, I pray, in Jesus' name. There is character flowing from endurance. In Jesus' name, let it be for each one standing. And there is hope as a result of this character. Oh, give us eyes to see what this life is really all about you and your glory. Help us to be a church that suffers well. Help us, Lord, to be a church that counts the cost to follow you. Not squeaky clean, pretty, nice programs, but we endure and we suffer and we struggle and we rejoice. Let it be so, Lord, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ.